It's great to be in church this morning. Such a vibrancy in the atmosphere. I think God is here to do something special in your life. Amen? Not everyone? Okay. It's all right. Hopefully by the end of the sermon, you'll feel like it. Let's get into the Gospel of Mark, and we're going to turn to chapter 11. Hallelujah. Pastor Liafi and Pastor Fair are currently in Tikawiti, actually. They're at a celebration for our assistant superintendent of the movement, Pastor Terry Bradley. It's a special occasion for him and his church up there in Tikawiti. And so they have gone up to surprise them and to bless them on their special day. And so that's where they are this morning. Mark chapter 11, and starting in verse 1, let me just read it to you. This is in New Living Translation. So if your words are different, please don't stone me. It's not heresy, it's just a different translation. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Let's get into the word. As Jesus and his disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the towns of Bethage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them ahead. "Go into that village over there," he told them. "As soon as you enter it, you will see a young donkey tied there, and no one has ever ridden it. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks, 'What are you doing?' just say, 'The Lord needs it and will return it soon.'" The two disciples left and found the colt standing in the street, tied outside the front door. As they were untying it, some bystanders demanded, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They said what Jesus had told them to say, and they were permitted to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their garments over it, and he sat on it. Many in the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and others spread leafy branches they had cut from the fields. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and the people all around were shouting, "Praise God! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Blessings on the coming kingdom of our ancestor David! Praise God in highest heaven!" Sounds like the songs we sang this morning. Amen. So Jesus came to Jerusalem and went to the temple, and he looked around carefully at everything. He left because it was late in the afternoon. Then he returned to Bethany with his 12 disciples. Let me just pray for us. Father, we thank you for your goodness this morning. Lord, we thank you that your word is power, and your word is power to transform lives. Lord, we ask that you would come and minister to every heart that is gathered here this morning, whether they're here in the church or are watching at home online. We just pray your blessing on them. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Expectations shape your mood and attitude as you move towards something. The attitude that you carry, the mood that you're in, will dictate the way you move forward. I don't know about you, but when I think back to my childhood, thinking about Christmas time, that expectation of the day to come, that night before, is pretty high. Most children are pretty excited the night before Christmas. Maybe you've had experience yourself. Even some of you ones with gray hair probably remember when you were young and that special morning. No, you can't remember? It's okay. We'll pray for you. God bless you. But there was an anticipation, there was an excitement, and that shaped the mood. That shaped your mood and how you were going to go into the day. Often you couldn't sleep. Often you woke up too early. I remember one Christmas where my sister and I got up at about 1 in the morning, probably just after my parents went to bed, went out and looked out at the tree. Oh, there it is, and it's all. And then we got up and started fiddling with them, and I remember my dad coming out and going, "Go back to bed," and feeling rather sheepish about it, but yes. But those sort of things, yeah, the anticipation, the mood, dictates that sort of thing. When we take a look at the last 2 years, at 2020 and 2021, our mood and our expectation was different. Do you remember what it was like going into 2020, before coronavirus hit, before it hit our shores and everyone was panicking about it? It was a new decade. It was the beginning of a new start. I remember the sermons that were coming out of the church of a new season, of a new decade beginning, of a fresh start, something beginning, something stirring. All those expectations, all that was a mood that was stirring in our hearts. And we entered that year with anticipation. And then March hit, and April, and May, and the mood changed, and the mood shifted. And when you think at the beginning of this year and everything that we'd gone through last year, maybe our mood and our attitude moving forward into this year looked very different from last year. Something had changed. Something had transformed the mood and the expectation in the hearts of not just us perhaps, but of the whole world, the way the world was thinking. Something changed that caused our approach to 2021 to look different and perhaps even have a negative tone. I don't need to look at that. I've got it here. It's way better. So then I wonder what our moving into 2022 will look like. I know it's a wee way off. We have some months to go. Maybe it'll look different again. In our passage today, in the verses that I've read to you, Mark recalls a crowd that is expectant, a crowd that is excited, a crowd that is cheering for the arrival of Jesus. The ministry of Jesus is built up at this time. He's been around. People have been saying, have you heard what Jesus is teaching? There's something different that the other religious leaders aren't teaching. It's different. Have you heard what he's teaching? It's exciting. It's worth gathering and getting together for this. Have you heard about the miracles? Have you seen the miracles in some cases? There is an excitement. There is something different about this Jesus that all the other religious leaders don't fall into that category. And there is an expectation in their hearts. There is something about this man, this person that has crashed into planet Earth and crashed into Israel and comes in and is saying something different and doing something different, and it has shifted an atmosphere. It has changed the mood and an expectation to the point where 3 years earlier, Jesus would walk into a town and no one would even stop. He would go up and talk to someone, or he would go up to someone and just heal them, and it would be kind of like, what just happened? Now something has shifted and there is an expectation, there is an excitement in the air. There is kind of an expectation that really it's so high that the people start to trust Jesus. What are they trusting him for? They're trusting him to be the answer to their problems. He's the one who's going to deliver them from Rome. This is the new King David. This is the ancestor that we've been waiting for, who's finally going to liberate Israel and going to make us a nation that is great again. Let's make Israel great again. Maybe they had a hat, I don't know. But that was the expectation in their midst. Jesus will make us a great nation again. He will make us prosper. He will make us rich. We won't have to worry about life ever again. We're going to return to the glory days. And that what was in the people's hearts. The thing is, Jesus certainly did stir up things in Jerusalem. If you read on in the coming chapters, he visits a temple. He clears the temple. Rather violently as well, in some people's opinions. He teaches, he rebukes, he tells people to pay their taxes and their tithe. Have a look at that. He tells, makes predictions about his future that some people don't really like. He ate with the disciples, he offended the disciples, and a disciple betrayed him. And he ends up before the authorities, the governing powers, the unbelievers, those who maybe don't see things the way he does. Let's just skip forward to chapter 15, if that's okay, and I'm going to take you to another crowd incident that happens not long after the first crowd incident that we read. Starts in verse 1, chapter 15. If you've got your Bible there, you can turn to it. If you haven't got your Bible, just find a Christian. They'll show you where it is. Here we go. Are you ready? Hold on. Very early in the morning, the leading priests, the elders, the teachers of religious law, the entire high council, that's a large group, met to discuss their next step. They bound Jesus, led him away, and took him to Pilate, the Roman governor. Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus replied, "You have said it." Then the leading priests kept accusing him of many things, and Pilate asked him, "Aren't you going to answer them? What about all these charges they are bringing against you?" But Jesus said nothing, much to Pilate's surprise. Now it was the governor's custom each year during the Passover festival celebration to release one prisoner, anyone the people requested, anyone. One of the prisoners at the time was Barabbas, a revolutionary who had committed murder in an uprising. The crowd went to Pilate and asked him to release a prisoner as usual. "Would you like me to release to you this King of the Jews?" Pilate asked, for he realized by now that the leading priests had arrested Jesus out of envy. So you can hear the sarcasm is basically what he's saying. But at this point, the leading priest stirred up the crowd to demand to release Barabbas instead of Jesus. Pilate asked them, "Then what should I do with this man you call the King of the Jews?" They shouted back, "Crucify him." Why? I think we all kind of said that. So not just Pilate, that echoed through history. Why? Pilate demanded, "What crime has this man done, committed?" Even Pilate could see that he'd done nothing wrong. But the mob roared even louder, "Crucify him." So to pacify the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He ordered Jesus flogged with a lead-tipped whip and turned him over to the Roman soldiers to be crucified. Many accounts say that Barabbas was, upon release, went back to his revolutionary ways, and many historians believe that he died not long after in an incursion with Roman soldiers. Bit of a waste, really. Released a man who wasn't even going to change, and he went and died straight away. In the first instance, we have the crowd yelling, "Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord." What a shout of praise, a shout of excitement. And on the other hand, we have, "Crucify him." Something must have changed in the mood of the people. We know that the Pharisees had influence. We know that they stirred the crowd up. The gospel tells us that. But maybe there was more to play in what was going on. I've got a video, if it's okay. We're just going to watch this. If we could hit the lights. Our tech team do a great job. They're just making it work.
The Bible says that as Jesus and his disciples approached Jerusalem, he sent two of them to get a donkey and a colt. This fulfilled the prophecy in Zechariah. "Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Jesus mounted the donkey and rode into Jerusalem. Many laid their cloaks on the road before him and brought palm branches to wave and celebrate. "Hosanna in the highest heaven. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to the Son of David." But not all who were there understood him. Some called him only a prophet, believing him wise but denying his divinity. Some raged and cheered for a revolution, hoping he would liberate them from their oppressors. To others, he was nothing more than an interruption. Even as children ran to him and shouted for joy, his enemies wove through the crowd, watching, seething, plotting. The range of reactions was great and wide. Celebration, worship, revolutions, deception, cynicism, condemnation, boredom, disinterest. But every single person had to confront one thing: who he was. "Behold, your king is coming to you."
So many different things going on. So often we just think it's just one thing, but there were so many things at play at the time. Again, when I think back at the beginning of 2020 and what happened from the expectation of the beginning of the year into what actually unfolded, I can paint it with a short story from my own life and what's happened with us. And I know you'll have your own, but at the beginning of last year, my son Ewan, he was approaching his 15th birthday. And we wanted to do something special for him, and He'd never been overseas, and we thought we'd plan a trip to Australia to visit my mum, who lives in the Gold Coast. And so we'd booked that, we'd organised that, and we planned to fly out in April. And as things started to unfold, you can imagine kind of all those questions up in the air. Are we going to be able to go? Is he going to be able to go and see his grandmother? Are we going to be able to go and have this cool holiday and that sort of thing? And as we got closer, as lockdown took place, they were still kind of, well, we don't know how long this is going to be for. We won't rebook or anything and that sort of thing. And as we got to about 2 weeks out from the trip that we planned, it was very evident that it wasn't going to happen. We had emails from the airline saying that they're going to hold the ticket money and all that sort of carry on. And I remember Ewan being very, really disappointed. You know, he had this expectation of doing something cool, something fun, something that he wanted to do. And circumstances had changed his mood, the way he saw it, the way he thought it would play out. In the video there, we had, you know, one of the things they mentioned was that there was the expectation of revolution. There was an expectation that Jesus would be the one who would overthrow the Romans. We're going to have this great conquering king who will come in and he will establish our independence again and we'll be free. Can you imagine the disappointment in their hearts when they saw Jesus on the cross? It wasn't what they expected. That wasn't how it was supposed to play out. And perhaps how that would have done something to their hearts, perhaps brought bitterness, perhaps brought anger and resentment. Maybe they thought, well, like maybe they couldn't trust God anymore. Maybe those are the sort of things that flowed through their hearts and minds. I'm sure we all here had plans. Many of you will think back at your own plans that you had at the beginning of last year, what your expectations were for 2020. And you recall the frustration that you had, the frustration when it didn't play out the way it was supposed to. The way it didn't occur. The exciting things that you were looking forward to just didn't happen. They just didn't work out the way they were. They were stopped by lockdowns, and perhaps that did something to your own mood, to your own excitement, to your own expectations, and things just dropped. The pandemic has actually taken quite a toll on society around the world, whether you realize it or not. People have lost jobs and houses. People have lost loved ones, and some people weren't even able to grieve with them or attend funerals. It's a really hard time. They couldn't say goodbye. Depression and stress over finances, stress over just the fear of sickness and those sort of things, they all played a part in seeing dreams fall away. It all rose. It would be easy for people to give up on their goals and dreams, wouldn't it, in those sort of circumstances? Maybe you did. Maybe you can think of some things that you planned to do, some exciting things that you wanted to do, and they just now you actually don't even think they're even going to happen. They've actually dissolved. The dreams aren't, oh, we'll do it later, but they've actually got, no, we're not going to do that now. How many threw out their New Year's resolutions? I know that there was many cases of people who perhaps had decided they were going to go on a diet that year. For the first few months, then when lockdown hit, now the diet's out the window, mate. I'm just going to eat junk food to comfort myself, tub of ice cream every day. For a long time during the pandemic, there was talk amongst people about a new normal. Did you hear that? This is the new normal now. This is the way it's going to be. This is how it is now. All those dreams and those plans are gone, and you won't be able to live those again. This is the new normal. This is how it is. This is how you have to live. You've got to adapt and you've got to change. I mean, the disciples felt that way if you think about it. When they saw Jesus die on the cross, they weren't expecting a resurrection. They were accepting a new normal. They went off and they wept. They went off and they grieved and they couldn't believe what had happened. What had happened? We were expecting so much. Our Savior, our Messiah, Jesus was the one. Surely he was the one. If he wasn't, then there can't be one coming. That's it, we've missed the boat. All those sort of things. It was only a few days window, but all those things would have been turning in their hearts and their spirits. Imagine Peter denying him three times, being guilty and feeling that and just saying, that I've blown it and all my aspirations. Peter was full of expectation. You look at what Peter said, all the things that he was saying to Jesus is, no, it's never going to happen. That's not going to happen. Jesus, I'm going to stand up for you. I'm going to be the one who makes sure this happens. If you can't make it happen, Jesus, I'll make it happen. He was just so full of expectation. And it was just all wiped away. That was their new normal. But Jesus rose above all expectations. Above all the doubt and all the sorrow, Jesus became a new hope, to quote Star Wars. You see, the people on Palm Sunday, which is actually next Sunday, it's not today, we've got a guest speaker next week, so come next week, because Pastor Mark Trewavis will be with us, he will be blessed, so please come next Sunday. So I'm doing this, the Palm Sunday message today, is that okay? A week early. See, the people on Palm Sunday, they weren't actually wrong. There was a coming kingdom that was blessed. There was something exciting. There was something to celebrate. There was a moment of worship, and it was all correct. Jesus was bringing hope and the kingdom coming that was going to take place right in the middle of despair, right in the middle of all that thing. And I think that's the power of the hope that Jesus brings. The hope that Jesus brought was right in the middle of despair, right in the middle of the darkest hour, right in the middle of the worst moment in the disciples' lives. Right in that moment, that's when hope arrived. So often we want hope to arrive in all the mountaintops and all the great moments and all the exciting times. We want to get excited and then, yes, we'll punch through. Sometimes, a lot of the time, hope arrives in the moment when we're the least excited, when the most downtrodden, when we're to the point where we don't think anything good can happen. That's when Jesus will rise. Arise above the expectation. So if that's how Jesus makes an entrance, what are the chances that Jesus could rise up in your circumstances this year? Hallelujah. What are the chances that Jesus could rise up in this pandemic in your life today? Hallelujah. Church, you need to hear this morning. What happened last year? What is happening this year? I want to declare to you that this is not the new normal. Hallelujah. This is not the new normal. We don't have to settle and say, oh, well, this is our bag now. In the darkest hour, there is a Savior who will come. I want you to know that everything that has happened in your life over this last year, that doesn't have to define your future. This is not going to be magicked away by the church. The struggle will still be there. The pandemic may still be there. The financial situation will still be there. But Jesus can come into your life this morning, and he can do something unexpected, and he can blow your expectations out of the water. Hallelujah. Let God take your expectations and turn them upside down this morning. Amen. Thank you. Hallelujah. I really believe that God wants to do something in people's hearts this morning. I'm just going to encourage the musicians to come as we come to a close here. But I also want to declare some things this morning. There's some people here who I think identify with this. As I was preparing, I felt God drop some things in my heart that there's a number of people who fit into these categories. But I feel God wants to speak to you this morning, because for you, there have been some circumstances, there's been some mood changes and some expectations that have changed, and you need to hear something this morning. You need your spirit to be lit alight again. Hallelujah. There's someone here this morning who God loves, but it hasn't felt that way. At times, it's felt like you don't want to get involved in things because you just don't feel like you're part of what God is doing. I want to tell you that you are being lied to by that voice. Jesus wants to ignite a dream in your heart this morning. And you're going to see a pathway unlocked, and you're going to find a joy and a fulfillment in him as you serve his church. There's someone here who needed to hear that. There's someone else this morning who has served in church in the past, but you have lost your passion for his people, and you are just looking after yours and you and yours right now. God wants to remind you this morning that those feelings you have of tiredness that you thought you'd escape by giving up ministry are still there, and God wants to see Jesus rise up in your life and plug you back into the purposes in him. You are not finished. Your days are not over. God still wants to use you, and he believes in you. He actually sees a place where you can fit and you can fulfill purpose this morning. Hallelujah. Who is this? You don't think you're worthy. You actually think Jesus has passed you by and you've become content with being part of the crowd. God loves you. You think, you know he loves you. No, you know he loves you. But you think he's only interested in using others to fulfill his purpose. This morning, you need to know that God sees you. He sees you in the crowd. And he cherishes you. And his heart has always been for you. And it's always been for you to be part of his work. He never thought you were just on the sidelines. You've just been looking in the wrong places, I believe. And now God wants to show you something this morning. Hallelujah. We're going to just sing a song. And while the band sings and you feel in your own spirit, maybe you're in one of those categories. Maybe you're just feeling like God is speaking to you this morning. Maybe it's been a long time coming. You've been waiting to hear this word this morning. And something has sparked. It may just be a little spark, because I know that when you're dealing with doubts, doubts don't just go out the window immediately. Sometimes we've got to fight it. Sometimes we've got to actually say, okay, God, I'm going to make room for you in my doubt and allow you to speak life. But if that's you this morning, I'd love for you to stand with me and I'm going to pray. And the band's going to sing and you're going to worship and you're going to make your own declaration to Father this morning. And you're going to reconnect with that love, that first love. You're going to reconnect with that passion. You're going to reconnect with that dream that you had that you thought was lost. There are things that even 2020 did to you that I believe this morning God wants to speak to in your heart. Is that okay? So if that's you, I want you to stand. Hallelujah. And I'm just going to pray for us. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So good. So good. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you this morning for your love and your grace. Lord, we thank you for your mercy that is new every day. Lord, we thank you for these dear ones that are standing, Lord God, that, Lord, they've been robbed, Father. They've been robbed of dreams and passions, Lord God. They've had those things taken away, Lord God, by doubts and frustrations, Lord God, by disappointment. And this morning, Lord God, I thank you that you are the God of the restoration. Lord, I thank you that you come and you breathe new life onto every soul, Lord God. Lord, you come and you bring opportunity and fresh beginnings. You are the new hope this morning, Lord Jesus. And I pray for these dear ones as they stand, as they raise their hands, as they worship you this morning, Lord God, that you would meet with them. And you would meet with them and they would meet with you, Lord God, and some transaction would take place, Father, where the spark of dreams and visions and passions would be birthed in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray this morning. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in each of our hearts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why don't you make your own praise offering? Why don't you just pray to him as we sing this morning? Hallelujah.